Reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, and chapter 2, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruits with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teems, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thanks, Elijah, for bringing our reading. And Marcus, thank you for placing that there. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that you are the creator. Help us now to see more of who you are. And would you direct our ways, our thoughts, and our church? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here we are, week two of our Apostles' Creed sermon series, and we're looking at our declaration that Christians believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Personally, I love God's wonderful, marvelous, beautiful creation, and I know that many, if not all of you, do too. And I wonder, as you pause at the beginning, if there are any particular parts of creation that you enjoy specifically. There's a wonderful and rather intriguing bench just outside Towyn in North Wales. And it's situated just as you start heading along the beach towards Aberdovey. It's intriguing bench because it has two sides to it, in the sense that you could sit on one side or you could sit on the other. And it always makes me smile as I pass it, and it always makes me think. Now, I've always been at the beginning of my walk, so I have never actually sat there. But it makes me think because if you sit on one side, you look out to the sea. But if you choose to sit on the other side, you're looking at the mountains. I always think, well, what an impossible choice. Maybe that's why I keep on walking. Do I want to look at the vast ocean and the waves or the majestic hillside scattered with sheep? Well, whether we're particularly drawn to the sea or we're drawn to mountains or you have a love of sunsets or flowers or birds or animals or whether you just sit there and saying, well, actually, I just like all of it, then I'm so glad that we've been gifted with creation, that we can enjoy creation, even on a grey, chilly day. And my prayer is actually that we will not only just enjoy creation, but encounter our Creator as we do so. So today, as we look at this line of the Creed, and as we look at the start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, now just to say here, slightly disappointed that our church Bibles start on page 3. I was hoping to put up number 1 on our board showing us what page, but actually because of the title pages, it starts on page 3. So do have it open because we're going to actually look at all of Genesis chapter 1 into chapter 2. And as we do, I'd like to explore two things. One, what do you believe? And secondly, and importantly, what difference does it make to our day-to-day lives if we believe in a creator God? If we believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth, what difference does it make as you leave today and go into this week? So, as your vicar here at St. Mary's, I decided that I would share with you today what I believe. And as I do so, I invite you to think afresh exactly what you believe. Well, I can certainly say the Creed with full assertion. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe that God created the cosmos. I see it in the Bible, which is God's word and has authority. The first 10 words of the whole Bible say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." No wonder the writers of the Creed put that in. It's what it says in Genesis 1:1. And I believe that to be true. I believe in God, the Creator. God is Creator. And I believe that He created everything from nothing. In verse 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty." It says that there's darkness. There was nothing. There's some talk that there was chaos. And God creates the heavens and the earth out of nothing and brings order. It's a beautiful read in Genesis 1 because there's such pattern to it. But that's the order that our God brings. So also, when we look at creation, I see that the Bible tells us that all members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are there and part of creation. Part of heaven and earth coming into being. In the second half of verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit was hovering over the waters." So, God created, the Spirit's hovering over the waters. So, where's our evidence that Jesus is there at creation? I believe he was there, and again, we see it in the Bible. If we turn to the New Testament and we're in John's Gospel, we can see a passage that we used at Christmas. It talks about the Word becoming flesh, that's Jesus. And it says of him at the beginning of John's Gospel, when it's also started, "In the beginning was the Word," it goes on to say about Jesus, "He was with God in the beginning." But it also says, "Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." And we can also look at Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians, having said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, it goes on to say about Jesus, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. All things were created by him and for him." So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all present at creation. And continuing to share with you, I can share that I'm not a literalist. I don't necessarily believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days like we know a day of 24-hour period. There's a word used in the Old Testament, a word used in Genesis, which is yom. And it just means a period of time. What I do believe is that God not only created everything, but in doing so, he introduced an important rhythm. That he worked and then rested. If we went on to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we find, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested from all his work and blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And therefore, once we get into Exodus 20 and we get the Ten Commandments being given to God's people, they include, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It may be that in looking today in the Christian belief of God, the creator of heaven and earth, that God is gently reminding, even challenging some people about your rhythm and your rest. Whether you're someone in employment, whether you're someone at school, or whether you're retired, having a rhythm is important. Having a day of rest is a real gift. I love my day of rest, my Fridays. I like to think about it in terms of the word recreation. If you pause and look at that word as if written in front of you, it's re-creation. We're given the chance to rest and recreate. Many of you know that I tend to choose on my day off to go out walking or cycling, doing some exercise, being out in God's beautiful creation, and helps me to praise and worship him. I also like cooking. Before I was trying to lose a bit of weight, it was a lot of baking. Now I'm trying to think of a new recipe for a meal we can have in the evening. Isn't it interesting? We're going to come on to looking at being made in the image of God. We're made in the image of a creator. So we are made creative. Great thing to do always, but making space for it on a rhythm rest day. And, of course, I like a bit of chill and downtime. Maybe even an afternoon nap has been known on my day off. Having real rest. So let's be open today to what God might be saying about Sabbath, which, let's be clear, would be a sermon, if not a sermon series, in its own right. So I'm sharing with you what I believe, my confident belief in God as our creator. And I'm aware that we will be among people who believe different things about creation. There's people here who are involved in secondary school, either as members of staff or people studying. You will have children or godchildren or grandchildren or nieces and nephews. They will be being taught various theories in school. And it's not confined to those still in education. Many of these theories will be held by your family and friends, your neighbours, the Big Bang or other theories. But remember, they're a theory. So that's why, in some ways, I'm encouraging you today to reflect on what you believe. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating you get into combative conversations with people, because actually, I don't think that conversation about creation gets us very far. But, you know, all these theories might be proposing how the world came into being, but none of them explain why. None of them explain why the world came into being. Only belief in God as creator shows us why we have this beautiful creation and the creation of heaven and earth. Now, at this point, I want to share with you the analogy I love about the why. I said I enjoyed baking. There's a good analogy about creation and why by having a cake baked. Now, we could spend time that we don't have going around sharing your theories of how to make a sponge cake. The creaming method. Would you use 2 eggs or would you use 4? Or maybe it's a cake that has oil in it. And there's even some cakes that have yogurt in them. Now, we could have many different theories of how to make a sponge cake. But as the baker, as the creator of this cake, only I can tell you why I made it. Sadly, the reason is I made it as a sermon illustration. But I made it for you, although there might have to be some blessing to multiply it for everybody. But there's some left from the first service, so I do hope you'll stay and that we will share cake together. Only I, as the creator, could tell you why I made it. And it's the same with the creation of heaven and earth. The creator, God Almighty, created this beautiful creation and created us in his image because he wants a relationship with us and he loves us and he's with us and he made this amazing, intricate, diverse creation for us to enjoy. That is the why. And if you're ever going to get into a conversation about creation with people, then take it to. It's because God loves you and God made you, because that is a great thing to discuss with people. Well, that's been quite a bit about the belief, the Christian belief, as God as creator. I'm very happy to chat over coffee and cake as to what you believe. But I said we'd not only look at God, the creator of heaven and earth, but also ask, so what? What difference does it make to our day-to-day lives that God is creator? And remember that what he made was so good. So very briefly, I want to outline 3 things. Firstly, that God is sovereign. And just to say, it's one of my very, very favourite lines of the Bible. He also made the stars. Such a throwaway line for what beauty the Lord created. But what difference does it make to us? Firstly, God is sovereign. God created heaven and earth, but he didn't just create it and leave it and step away. God is involved. God is sovereign and he holds everything in his hands. When we look at the awesomeness of creation, we see that he is sovereign over all things. And this is an amazing aspect of our faith. Marcus talked last week about our faith, about this deep down in our gut, as well as in our head and hearts, this deep down trust in God. And wow, what a God we trust in. I love Psalm 121, which starts, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And it is so good to see some people's lips moving because you know that psalm. It's great when scripture is in us and we can bring it to mind. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we're going to get help, if we're going to fully trust and walk alongside and even be carried by, then where should we put our trust? In the sovereign God, the maker of heaven and earth. Sovereign over all things. He's worth putting our trust in, and may God increase our faith. And remember, our faith isn't about us. It's about who we're putting our faith in. And faith in our sovereign God that's in control of everything makes a difference. We can let go because he's got it. Adam talked 2 weeks ago about 2 paths. If we're going to one destination, we've got a choice. We can walk one path with all our worry, all our anxiousness, trying to carry it all ourselves. Or we can walk the other path, trusting this sovereign God and allowing him to carry those things for us. Secondly, and really related, God is all-powerful. Our creator God made the highest mountains and he made the most delicate flower. For me, it's so intricate, so coordinated, so well designed. It just can't have come about by chance. As I trained as a speech and language therapist, and then as I taught students, one of the things that always wowed me was just swallowing. It's absolutely incredible that when you have your cup of tea and eat that cake, that it doesn't go down on your lungs. It's all controlled by your voice box, your larynx, which closes three times. Three times. It is such an amazing creation, and it's a powerful creation. As I prepared, I felt the Lord say a couple of things, and the first one was, I gave me a very basic praise. God can do it. He's all-powerful. He can do it. Whatever you are going through at the moment, whatever's on your mind, he's the creator, the powerful one, and I think he wants to say to us today, he can do it. He did all of the heavens and the earth. He can certainly be at work in our situation. God said, among many other things, let there be light, and there was light. We can see that when God speaks, things come into being. Whatever God said is followed in this beautiful passage by, and it was so. God speaks, it gets created, it is so, just as he said. It's lovely to look in other places as well as Genesis 1. And in Psalm 33 it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. God spoke and creation came into being. He's powerful. God speaking and creation coming into being is one of the ways that we see that Jesus is God. In the Gospels, you get the story of Jesus in a storm. He's in the boat. The winds and the waves are raging. He stands up and he says, be quiet. He speaks and the wind and the rain stop. Jesus has power over creation. Jesus is God. God is powerful and has power over creation. God speaks and things happen. God speaks today and things will happen. And I've felt it right to encourage us today to think of this in terms of healing. Admittedly, in a context where I acknowledge not everyone is healed and I don't always understand it. But I do believe our Creator God has the power over creation. So he can bring healing about quicker, or he can just change the body and bring healing about, and also the mind. But I know that he may also, in his power and gentleness, change how we feel about things and change the situation. But I believe that we should come to our Creator, powerful God, and keep asking him. So, faith in the Creator God who is powerful does make a difference day to day. Thirdly and finally, belief in Creator God is foundational. And this brings us to the creation of humankind. In verse 27, it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is foundational, because it speaks into how we view ourselves, how we view others, and how we view God's world. Our faith in Creator God, the creator of heaven and earth, includes the belief that God made you and that he made you in his image. The very essence of what God is like is in you and in me. We're created in his likeness. And very importantly, this shows us where we need to place our worth. Our worth is not in what others think of us, not in what others say about us, not even in what our own thoughts can sometimes say over us. Our worth is in God. What God says of us is, I created you. I love you. You're made in my image. I'm with you and I'm for you. And so this not only impacts the view of ourselves, but the view of others, all those around us, including those we find it difficult to get on with. They too are made in God's image. So may God give us eyes and ears to see and to hear his image in everyone we meet, that we might begin to love like God loves. Our belief in God as creator, creator of humankind, is also foundational in our view of the world. It clearly says, male and female, he created them. In fact, it's interesting, if you look at this account of creation, all parts of God's creation are binary and complementary. There's light and there's dark. There's day and there's night. There's land and there's sea. There's male and there's female. It's vital and godly to strive for equality and equity, to value everyone, and alongside that, to see the beautiful harmony of the created order. Well, I believe in the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. There's so much that can be said about our creedal statement and about Genesis 1. I've tried to look at creation, to look at Sabbath rest, and to look at human identity. I believe in God, the creator, and the heaven and earth. What do you believe and what does it mean to you? So, as I close, I wanted to encourage you in three ways. Firstly, to pause and really think, what do you believe? How would you articulate it? And then to reflect again, well, what difference does it make to you day by day if you believe that God created the heaven and earth? And finally, an encouragement to enjoy creation and to seek to encounter God in it. Aim over this next week at least, and hopefully longer, to be attentive to creation. Go for a walk. Sit looking out at your garden. Listen to the birds. And may God graciously meet us in it. For the beginning of Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Lord, we thank you for the gift of your beautiful creation. May we meet you in it, and may you lead us on. Amen.